Today's daf is daf Samach Hey. We're holding right after the Mishnah. That's about a third of the way down. So yesterday we learned in the Mishnah the dinim of the Olat Ta'of and the difference between Olat Ta'of and Chatat Ta'of in terms of the placement, and that we find the Olat Ta'of, as we've spoken about many times, you go up on the Kevesh and you do the Malika and you do the Mitzri above the Chutasikra, perhaps even above the Soveiv, as we'll see, that's Machloket. We also know that there's a tremendous difference in Mhavdalah. You're Mavdil, the Rosh of an Ola, which means you cut through both Simoni, and you deal with the head and the body separately. If you recall, you do a separate Mitzvah on the Guf and a separate Mitzvah on the Rosh, and a separate salting of the Guf, a separate salting of the Rosh. Of course, salting is part of what you do to every Korban. So it's the place that's different, the mode of Malika that's different, the type of Netinat Adam, which is very different. There's a Hazor that we had by the Chatat, which we don't have by the Ola, we only have the Mitzri. And there's also this specific din of Shisua, which is to tear apart the body itself. And there's also a special din by the Ola of tearing out the Mur'av and Notza, which we saw means the crop, together with the intestines that come out with the crop, the digestive system, basically, and the feathers that are around that area, so that we have a tremendous number of differences, really a very different carbon, a more clear-cut difference than just about anything else that we've spoken about before. And now the Gemara wants to know, where do we get all of those distinctions from? Tanarab, vehikrivok, ma talmud lomar. So what does the Torah mean when it says in the parasha of Olat Ta'of, vehikrivo hakohen el hamizbeah, umalak et rosho. Now listen to the words over here. This being the first pasuk that we're going to discuss. Kohen is makrivit to the mizbeah, molek et rosho, Vihiktir hamizbecha. Now this is the next piece is absolutely wild. Mahiktir hamizbecha sounds like you already put it on the mizbeah. Well, then it goes in and says v'nimtza damo akir hamizbeah. When exactly is he going to do the mitzvah? After he burned it? What is v'nimtza damo akir hamizbeah? So this is the first pasuk that we want to analyze. When it says vihikrivo, now what in the world is the need for saying vihikrivo when in the previous pasuk it said, "Ve'im min ha'of ola korbanola Hashem v'hikriv min ha'torim." I mean, imagine you're reading the pasuk in order: "V'hikriv min ha'torim, v'hikrivo." What is that supposed to be saying? Ma tamud omar. Ah, you see, because the pasuk before indeed said, "V'hikriv min ha'torim o min b'nei hayona." Now that might sound like you've got to bring two torim or two b'nei yona, in which case somebody who gave a nidvat of, yochola mitnadev of, lo yivchot mishnei pridim, you might think that the minimum is that you have to bring two of these units, because a lot were called pridot, and the combination was called a kin, so that you might have thought you need to bring actually two. Talmud lomar, therefore it says, v'yikrivo lashon yachid. And this is to tell me, afilu preda achat yavi, you can now bring even one of them. Now, the question is, why does it have to say, if that's the case, El HaMizbeach would be fine, but what would be the meaning of HaKohen El HaMizbeach? I mean, obviously, we've been talking about now the Kohen. So you're telling me, V'ikrivo HaKohen El HaMizbeach U'malaket Rosho? Yes, indeed, because otherwise, obviously, my first reaction would be, now, wait a minute, at what point do we need a Kohen to be involved by a Zeva? Only after the Shechita. So maybe over here we would need the Kohen to be involved only at the same point we need the involvement at the Zeva. Shiyocho valodino? I mean, isn't it a Kal v'chomer if a Ben Son, which the Torah is more makpid when it comes to the animals, because it was Kaveh for Kachikachim, Tzofa. Nonetheless, you don't need a Kohen to do the Shechita. So the Oath, Shalokavalo Tzafon, wherever there the Torah was never makpid on the din of Tzafon. Is it not clear, if I'm left to my own devices, I would have made a kal v'chomer and said, you certainly don't need a kohen to do melika. Therefore, why say el ha-kohen in order to be koveh el ha-kohen? Therefore, we need to know that you do need a kohen when it comes to an oath to do the melika. Yocho yimlakenu b'sakin. Now, you might think that the way to do a proper melika is to take a knife and to do melika, the same way that you would take a knife and you would do the shchita. V'dinu, I mean, it certainly makes sense because, look, shchita, where there's no din of a kohen at all. So the Torah is much looser about the requirements of shchita. Nonetheless, kavala kli, we know that you need to use something in order to do shchita. V'ikach ha-ma'achelet b'yado. So if malika, where the Torah is more makpid on the details of malika, the haraya, Kavala Kohen, Eino Dinchi Kabbalah Kli, isn't it clear that it should need some kind of instrument to achieve the Malika? Talmud Lomar, therefore it says, Ha Kohen Elamizbeach Umalak, meaning to tell me that the Kohen is the one who does the Malika. Omer Rabbi Akiva, why do you need that? I don't understand. Didn't it say Elamizbeach Bimalak? Who did you think it meant? If it wasn't a Kohen, would you consider for a moment that a czar is korev l'mizbeach? The czar is not supposed to be korev el ha-mizbeach. So how do you think the Torah, when it says el ha-mizbeach u'malak, would be referring to a non-kohen? It's a given that it's a kohen. Therefore, the word kohen has to be telling me even more. It's not that you need a kohen to do the malika. It's that you need the body of the kohen to do the malika. That's the point. The actual kohen does the malika. So that it's coming to tell me, ba'atzmo shel kohen. The malika has to be done with the actual fingernail of the kohen. And you can't use a kli at all. Yochol, yimlakenu, meimilamala, meimilamata. Now, you might think that wherever I do the malika is not important. I mean, as far as the dam is concerned, I understand that dam has to be in a particular place on the mizbeah. But, I mean, it's a logistical problem. If I can do the malika and I can still have the dam available to do the mitzvah, that should be okay. Not that there's a din of malika to be specifically above on the sovev. Talmud l'omar umalak v'hiktir. Therefore, the Torah puts the two things together. Umalak et rosho v'hiktir ha-mizbeah. To teach me that mahaktara barosh ha-mizbeach af melika barosh ha-mizbeach. And when it says umalak, that is a reference to umalak mimul oref. That means at the bottom of the neck, facing the neck itself. So it's in back of the head, and that's where you put your nail through.
What does oref mean exactly?
The oref is the part that is behind the face. This would be the nape of the neck, correct. Mimul is the nape. The oref is the lower part of the head. So that mimul oref would be the nape of the neck where you could actually get your fingernail through the spine. Ataomer mimul oref. I mean, where does it say that? It just says umalak. Maybe umalak means to do malika the same way you would do a shkita, from the front through the simonim. It's just telling you to use gufa shel kohen. But where does it say to go through the back of the neck? Oh, ino elamin atzavar? I mean, vedinu. Nemar kan umalak v'nemar lahanun umalak. Look, we have the same din of malak being mentioned in the chatat. But over there it says, v'ikrivat asher l'chatat rishona umalak et rosho. And there it says, mimul orpo. There's no mistaking it. So malik has to be done mimul oref on the chatas. Therefore, afkan mimul orpo. Ah, you'll say, but it says over there, b'ferish umalak et rosho mimul orpo v'lo yavdil. So maybe you should also eno mavdil here too, afkan molek ve'eno mavdil. Talmud Lomar, therefore comes the Torah to teach me that, on the contrary, when it comes to the olat ha'of, it's compared to umalak, as we said before, v'hiktir. Umalak at rosho v'hiktir ha-mizbecha. If the haktara has to be harosh la'atzmo, and we'll see in a moment how we know that, but if the haktara ha-mizbeach has to be separately, I mean, yeah, we said in the Mishnah it separately, we said take the head and sprinkle it with salt, or whatever, however we understand the, I mean, it's, a machlok is exactly the lotion of, is it sofeg, so whether that means with a sama, with a sin, but whatever it means, you need to do the salting and you throw it on the mizbeach, and that separately, and then you come to the goof, you should say out without separating it, you do the goof. Again, exactly how we know this, but it said that in the Mishnah. So just like Akhtara, Rosh Hatzmo Vaguv Latzmo, Af Malika, Rosh Hatzmo Vaguv Latzmo, but how do you know that? that you're able to use that as the basis for the comparison to the Malika, which is Arosh Latzmo Vaguf Latzmo. Obviously, that doesn't mean literally it has to be separated, but it means it has to be, in terms of the Malika, separated. The din of the Malika couldn't care less about what happens to the skin surrounding that's holding. I mean, if there's a piece of skin holding the head on the body, that's not the problem of Malika. Malika only deals with the area of the simanim. What's going on? Blowing cold air. Great. So how do I know that it means that you need to do both simanim is the meaning when it... Well, see, there's other differences as well, but how do I know that you need to do both simanim when it comes to the oila? Why not learn out from v'lo yavdil, which again, in terms of malika, would mean do only one simon, because that's what's nogea havdola by malika.
That would mean to say things attached only to one simon?
No, I'm saying there's two meanings to the rosh ba'atzma gufat. Rosh ba'atzma gufat were literally, in terms of the oila, where you actually take the rosh, squeeze it against mizbeah, take the guf, squeeze it separately against mizbeah, dip the rosh, or sprinkle the rosh with salt, and put it up on the top of the mizbeah, sprinkle or dip the body in salt. That literally is different. That separateness is clearly not what we're calling a malika issue, because malika doesn't deal with separating physically the body from the head. Malika deals with formally separating the body from the head. Exactly. So the formal separation of the body from the head means that the parts that are nogea, the body, and the head are no longer functional. So if you're cutting through both simonim, we're going to see the question of whether you also need to cut through the rest, which is the rove of the basar, besides breaking the spinal column. You're putting if you're going through the back of the head, you're breaking through the spine. So there's now nothing in the head that is connected formally to the body. From a medical point of view, the fact that it happens to be hanging with shreds of muscle or skin is irrelevant to malika. So don't get confused with the lush. This is a very confusing lush. We're talking about a guf ba'atzmo, rosh ba'atzmo. In terms of malika, that would simply mean doing shnei simanim. That's the point. So since lamaisa, we have a separation of the rosh and the guf for the haktorah, means we need to have an equivalent separation when it comes to malika, which means that there would be shnei simanim. That's the point of the comparison of haktorah to malika. So how do we know that there indeed is a separate rosh b'atzma, guf b'atzma when it comes to the korban oila? Well, that's because it said already v'hiktir oto. Now look, v'shisa oto v'knafav, lo yavdil, v'hiktir oto ha-kohen ha-mizbecha, right? So then how do you explain that first pasuk? The first pasuk, which was two psukim ago, said, v'hiktir ha-mizbecha, u'malaket rosho, v'hiktir ha-mizbecha. How do you explain that? Well, we burn it twice? Obviously, u'malaket rosho, v'hiktir ha-mizbecha, means to take off its head and put it on the mizbeach. Then when it says v'shisaoto b'chanafav, to pull apart the two sides of the bird, and then to put it on the mizbeach, that's a reference to the body. So then there is two separate haktarah. One must be the haktarah tarosh, or one must be the haktarah taguf. So since hare haktarah taguf amura, in the later pasuk of v'shisaoto b'chanafav, we're talking about the haktarah taguf. Therefore, the original v'hiktir ha-mizbecha in the opening pasuk v'hikriva ha-kohen, that clearly must be talking about haktarat harosh. Continues now the pasuk, and how do you understand that? Umalak, listen, umalak et rosho v'hiktir ha-mizbeach. So now what happened? V'hiktir ha-mizbecha. You now were makter it, and then v'nimtza domo v'hiktir ha-mizbeach. That's quite a trick. First you're makter it, then you take the ashes and you squeeze the blood out. Nah, that doesn't work. So, first of all, v'nimtza damo, the meaning of v'nimtza damo, all of its dam, squeeze it out. That means kulo. El kira mizbeach, it should say al kira mizbeach. Now we're going to, it doesn't say el in the pasuk, it says al. That means dafka, not that the kir is a way to get the blood out. That's not the point. Squeeze. That's what it sounds like. It's not working.
It's this thing. It doesn't have batteries.
Oh, dear. So we can't even turn it on. Let's just turn it off. So now, the kir hamizbeach needs to be understood that this is a din in the dam on the mizbeach. Not a way to get the blood. Here, listen, if it wouldn't have said this, how you would think. Salt it, squeeze out the blood. Squeeze out the blood anywhere. I mean, squeeze out the blood on the wall of the Eichel, as far as I'm concerned. Get rid of the blood. Then put it on the Mizbeach. No, that's not what it means. It's Dafka. Squeeze it against the Mizbeach. Lo akira kevesh. Lo akira Eichel. So now we're talking about a din in how to give the blood. Not how to get rid of the blood. So if we're talking about how to give the blood, then the understanding of Kira Mizbeach is Kira HaElyon. How does that follow? What do you mean it's Kira HaElyon? Who's to say it isn't Kira Tachton? As a matter of fact, it should be the Kira Tachton. I'll tell you why. Because it's a Kal Vachomer. If the din of the Behemah, where the Chatat goes to the top of the Mizbeach, but the Ola, the Torah is Makbid, should be done on the bottom. So apparently there's something about Yisod when it comes to Ola, some connection to the earth when it comes to Ola. So a bird, where even the Chatat is now the Behemah, where the Chatat, which is the of the Oaf, is Lamata. So the Koshekein, the Ola of the Oaf, should be Lamata. Therefore, I need you to tell me that that's not the case. And where does it tell me that that's not the case? Once again, from the comparison. Umalak vihiktir v'nimtza. So we have basically over here one issue. They're all interrelated. Now, how do you understand that you're supposed to be v'nimtza after vihiktir? I mean, that would be quite a trick. V'chitalel datcha la'acha shehiktir chozer m'matza. So now you've got the ashes, squeeze the ashes to get the blood out of them. Elomar lacha, mahaktara, it's therefore coming to tell me that these three things share something. Just like we said that the haktara is Barosh HaMizbeach by definition, then the mitzvah has to be Barosh HaMizbeach. And this leads us directly to the opening of our Mishnah. So how would you do this? Okay, so, hoya oleva kevesh, uponel sovev, and then you come to the first side, Bala le keren dromit mizrachit, right there, hayam oleket rosham imul arpa, umavdil, umimatse midamal kira mizbeach. And the truth is that it really wouldn't matter as long as it's lamala. Remember, ta ta ta. Remember that the sovev was built as a 5 amma high. Remember the mold? 5 amma high mold on top of the yisod. Which means that the sovev was at the level of 6 amot from the ground. Where was the chutah sikra? How many amot from the ground?
Five.
Because it was at the midpoint of the mizbeach. The midpoint of the mizbeach, including the kranot, would be 5 out of 10. That means that the chutah sikra was an amma beneath the sovev. So therefore, if technically all that we can learn is barosh al mizbeach, the only way that we understood the concept of Rosh HaMizbeach up until now is that the Mizbeach is split into two, which we learned out from the Karkova Mizbeach at Chetzio. That's the idea. You don't just generally say towards the top. So the top would mean above the midpoint, which is the Chutah Sikra in terms of the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. In which case, say the Rabbanan, if the Kohen bends down and puts the dam, takes the bird and squeezes it against the side of the Mizbeach beneath his feet, as long as it's not under the Chutah Sikra, it's also good, because it's still Lamala of the Chutah Sikra. That's called Lamala. In which case, Im Asa'a Lamata Miraglav, even up to an Amma, it would still be kosher. Rabbi Nechem and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say, absolutely not. The point over here is that Kol Atzma Ein Aseit Ela Berosh HaMizbeach. You don't understand. How do we learn out the din over here? We learn it out in terms of the upper part? No. We learn it out from the comparison to Haktorah. Is the idea of Haktorah that it's done on the upper part? No. The din of Haktorah is that it's done on the upper piece. So in other words, that building above the sovev is the part which is the Mizbeach. The things are built, are burnt on. The lower piece is not the Mizbeach in the literal sense of vehiktir HaMizbeach. So it has to be close to the part that's vehiktir. If you bend down and you squeeze it against the side of the Mizbeach beneath your feet, you're squeezing it against a different piece of binyan, which is called the sovev. That hunk of binyan, which is 5 amot high, is not used for haktara. It's used as a upper base for the mizbeach, which is the mizbeach of haktara. So how can you think that the idea of a year is a technical issue of whether it's lamala mechutah sikra, lamata mechutah sikra, and that's bringing in a legalistic issue, which has nothing to do with where we learn out the halakha from? You can't separate the two. if it's haktara b'rosh hashem mizbeach, and that's the makor of the mitzvah, then the mitzvah has to be b'rosh hashem mizbeach by absolutely no stretch of the imagination would you be able to call the bottom piece the rosh hashem mizbeach. Because this is close to that's it. It's on that piece. I mean, obviously, we're not supposed to put it into the fire to be mamatz of the dam. So once it's on the kir, it's no longer al rosh hamizbeach unless we interpret rosh hamizbeach to be near that area, which is this upper piece. Correct. The chutas sikra would not define rosh, and therefore Taina's Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's wrong. You would not be yotze if Cohen bends down. He would not be yotze. What are they arguing in? My binayim. Abai Avarav have a brilliant explanation of the Machlokas. It's not that the Rabbanon lost track of the Makor of the Limud. It's just that the Rabbanon hold that the bottom part of the Mizbeach, the Sovev, is pure Mizbeach. So that if you would light a fire on the Sovev or on the Richi, then it would be perfectly kosher for Haktara. Baby, light my fire! And they shall come. Yeah, right. So that would mean, if you could be makter on a fire on the sovev, then obviously the sovev is also called a mizbeach. So therefore, if you put it underneath, it would still be, of course, if it's lamad, because the secret's not rosh. Okay. But if it's on an area which is suitable for haktara, what's wrong? And that is good for the machlokis. Osema racha gabe asovev. That's a machlokis. How do we look at the sovev? As a mere support for the actual body of the mizbeach, and only on the body of the mizbeach can you be makter? Or as a Mizbeach itself, a different piece of the Mizbeach. Now, we continue on in the Mishnah, and we talk about what is done now that I've removed now the I did my Malika, took the head, salted it, Bolo Laguf. Now, what am I supposed to do? I need to take out Murata Benotzata. So it says over here, take out the Zefek, which is the crop, together with these feathers, and b'nei ha-me'ayim hayotz imima. So the Braita gets into detail. Ve'sirat murata benotzata, this is a reference to the Zefek. Yochol yakdir b'sakin v'yitlena. You might think that this means to make a hole under the skin and just pull out the Zefek without the upper skin and feathers that are attached. That's exactly why it says benotzata. No, no, no. This is not an operation that's done with optical fibers. You cut through the top and you pull it out.
And that could be together with the notzata.
We'll see in a moment. So your notilata notza ima. Abba Yossi ben Hanan omer, notla, venotel kurkevana ima. You also take along with it the rest of the digestive system. So you pull out the zefek, which is attached basically to the stomach, and whatever b'nei me'ayim come out with it is all part of cleaning out the oaf and making it ready for the mizbeach. So those things are removed, thrown onto the book of Adeshin, as we saw yesterday. And that's where the Kohen's got to be awfully strong if he's standing on the other side of the mizbeach, because there was too long of a line on the southern east side. He has to go to the southwest side. Okay, so it's an ola. The entire thing is burned. This is the equivalent of the removal of the parrot from the bane. Now, the question over here would be, what is the meaning of Abba Yossi ben Hanan when he says noto kurkavana ima? The noto kurkavana, say the Rishonim, according to him, and we'll see the sugya, is that nates is always a lotion of disgust. Notzata, therefore, according to him, has the meaning of the disgusting parts, which are the parts we have the digested or semi-digested food stuff. Therefore, it would mean taking out not only the crop, which is you have over there chewed food or whole seeds, but you don't have to digest. The crop doesn't digest anything. It just stores it. According to the way that Abba Yossi ben Hanan is learning, the question is, does it also mean that you have to take off the nutzah? Is Abba Yossi ben Hanan an alternative to the Rabban? In other words, do we have a machlokas as to whether nutzah means feathers or whether it means kurkavan? Then the Mishnah's not going according to anybody. Can't say that. Because the Mishnah says that you take out with the notza and the kurkava. So it can't be that it's a question of either or. That's for sure. Now the issue is exactly whether this is a machlokas and so on. It could be that everybody's made that notza, the simple meaning of notza is feathers. But I'm going to change the meaning of notza. The question is whether it also, according to Abba Yossi, whether it also merames on nets and discuss. That's the question. That's how some learn. Okay? That could be. It could be that Aliba the Reb Yossi Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe he holds it means only that. The Mishnah's not going, the Mishnah's going only like him. That's a question between the Mefarshim, how exactly to learn who's motive to who about what. But it's clearly not mutually exclusive. Otherwise, the Mishnah wouldn't be going according to either. Rabbi Yishmael, the very Rabbi Yishmael, Tana, Benotzata means Benotzashala. And only notzashela. So in other words, when you take it off, otherwise it should say benotza. Why is it benotzata? You'll note the additional stress with the taf means that it should be limited to its own notza. Do not take out a big piece of skin that would be dragged along with it, throwing the notes of the rest of the body or parts of the body in there as well. The only way to avoid that is kodrab is sakin. I agree that you use a knife, but not a knife just to cut open in order to be able to grab a hold of the crop, but rather kemina aruba, you actually make like a skylight, so to speak, where you're going to remove that entire piece of skin together with the curcumin as well, but together with the crop, and that way you're only going to pull out a plug, so to speak. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, you're going to dig a plug in the neck, take your fingers and pull out the outside of the skin, feathers, and beneath it, the crop, the zefek, and then the other issue, whatever comes out with it, fine, but as long as feathers don't come with it. So now the question is, do the Rabbanan disagree about this? And they hold, oh, well, you could take all of the notza. So it's interesting, the psak of the Rambam is like this, but nonetheless, he doesn't say you use the sakin to be koder. He says you pull it with your fingers. So in other words, you do make sure that you don't take too much, but with a pinching movement, not with of the feathers that are going to pull off around it, so you're going to take the skin from the back of the neck will come off too. You have to make sure that you pull tightly, taking out the zefek of the kurkava, and just the notza around that area. So basically you're taking a plug, except not necessarily did you dig the plug, if you don't know the Rabbi Yishmael. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yishmael, you have to actually be koder besaki, because there is specifically marked that you should be careful in a way that you wouldn't be able to be careful if you were using your finger. So, Mashma, according to him, that's how the Ravid explains it to Mashma, that according to him, the understanding in Rabbi Yishmael is that what Rabbi Yishmael is adding is the need to be makbid with the sakin, but the Rabbanan also made it that notzata is to take only its own feathers. So we have various levels of meaning. The notza as the feathers, the notza as the disgust with it, and the notzata, its and only its, meaning the crops, feathers, that area, and not the feathers that would follow along with the skin and the rest. Shisa, and the next thing that you do is shisa, you then tear it into two parts, and lo hivdil, of course, if your mafil makes absolutely no difference, because at this point, you've already done all the avodas. Even if you wouldn't be makriv at all, it wouldn't make any difference, as the Mishnah points out. So, but that's the way to do it. Tana Rabbanan, when it says vishisa, that means with your bare hands. Got to mean with your bare hands. How do we know? Ein shisa el biyad. And so it says by Shimshon, as he was approaching the fox. Well, it was a lion, but he grabbed him and tore him into two. Ripped. Ripped. Tear. Ah! The way that you would tear now a small little gedi into two, and he had nothing in his hand, as it says, so that he used his bare hands. That's the whole point. The shisua, I don't know why it leaves out the important part of the pasuk, but the shisua is clearly with his bare hands. I'm getting all kinds of ideas here, Richie. Fires. Fires and tearing and rip and all right, continues, and now our wonderful sugya. The next piece that we have is if he did the havdola differently, then it would be ma'akev. Why? Because that's before the mitzui. So what it says over here is that the din of lo yavdil by chatatov and yavdil is actually liikuva. Yavdil bechatat v'lo yavdil ba'ola psula. So it says, as is the Gemara, you should know that that is not according to the Pesach of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Titania, Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Shimon, Shamati Shemavdilin bechatata of. My Beinayu, what then are they arguing? He says you could be mavdil by the chatata of. Amar Rav Chista, I'll tell you. The question over here is whether the mitzui of the chatata of, that you remember, that the ola is done through mitzui and only mitzui. The chatat is done through hazoya, from the body. The mitzvah comes afterwards is the equivalent of shfichat shirai. Rings a bell?
The mitzvah is from the head.
Yeah, but it's by squeezing as opposed to sprinkling. So now the question is a chatas ha'of, is part of the netinat adam of the chatas ha'of mitzvah or not? If it's mitzvah is ma'akid, and that is the machlokas over here, the Tanakama holds that mitzvah of a chatas ha'of ma'akid. If that's the case, then that means that when he's going to do the mitzvah, and he must unavoidably do the mitzvah, so then that means he is now doing a chatas as an oila, not rather an oila as a chatas, because he did everything exactly as he would have done a chatas of. And the halacha is, as we'll see later on, that if you do an aveda of the chatas to the oila, or the oila of the aveda to the chatas, it's possible. In this particular case, there is nothing that distinguishes it, because when I'm taking a part of the something where I did the malika in two parts, and I'm doing the mitzui as well, and I'm doing this to the chatas, so then obviously I am not doing a chatas. I'm doing an oila. Now the question of, but one's on the top, it's there, one's on the bottom, it's, but that's not in the goof of the bird. So as far as I can see in this bird, I am treating it as if it's an oila. Doing a mitzui to its dam, doing two simonim in its malika, and that's possible. No, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Shimon Sov, our mitzvah chatata of is not ma'ake. Since mitzvah chatata of is not ma'ake, therefore, Rashi understands it like this. If you want to be mavdil, you can be mavdil, just don't do mitzvah. In other words, you can't do both a havdolah to a chatas ha'ov, and the mitzvah of the chatas ha'ov. Because then you're going to be treating the chatas ha'ov as an olas ha'ov. But if you don't do the malika in the way that you would have done the oila, then you can do the mitzvah in there. And you should do the mitzvah, but it'll never be ma'akev. That's the point. So the issue revolves ultimately around the question of whether I have a choice in doing the mitzvah or not. If I'm going to have to do the mitzvah, then there's no way that I can make a difference if I'm going to do a havdalah in a chatas ha'ov between this chatas ha'ov and an olas ha'ov. It's going to be treated as if it's an olam. Masha enkein, if I could avoid doing the mitzvah, then it's obvious that this can't possibly be an olam. Why, I didn't squeeze it against the mizbeach. How could anybody mistake it for an olam? And therefore, there would be no problem. Even if I do the havdalah, what's the big deal? It's no different than my cutting off a little piece of meat. Is that going to make a difference? I'm cutting through a piece of meat. You're telling me, but that piece of meat is where its esophagus was. So it's not an esophagus anymore, my dear friend. It's a piece of meat. It's a dead bird. I went ahead and I did the malika. It is now dead. Last I heard, dead birds or dead animals are called meat. They're not called birds. The particular fact that this is an esophagus is no longer meaningful. It's just another piece of meat. So what is wrong with cutting a piece of meat? Therefore, it's mechatech basar be'almahu. I don't understand what is it that's troubling you here, Bichlal. There's some problem in cutting a piece of meat? Therefore, it all makes sense if we understand that there's another way to make the distinction between the olatov and the chatatov. Rava says there's a whole different issue that's involved. This is quite brilliant. Remember that when you do shechita, if you wait between the shechita of one semen, you're shechting a regular animal, you wait between one semen and the other semen, between the kana and the veshet, that is one of the fundamental psulim of shechita. You've got to shecht both of them together within the period where you wouldn't have been able to cut separately if you hadn't stopped. So the question over here is, by a chatata of, you are going to always be shohet. Why is that? Because as we're going to see later on, the chatata of, as opposed to the olata of, requires two issues when you cut through one of its simonim. You need to cut first, this is will be true of both of them, you're going to cut through the spinal cord. When you put your fingernail through the back of its neck, you're going through the spine. You're cutting through the spinal column. Therefore, you're cutting the spinal cord. Now, when you continue downwards to reach the simonim, the question is, do you need to cut through most of the muscle that surrounds the simon as well? Surrounds the head, in other words, rov basar. When it comes to the chatas, you need to cut through rov basar at the same time that you cut through the simon. But if you had time to cut through Rov Basar without cutting through the other Siman, then you were Shohet. If you were doing an act of Malika that required both, then that would be possibly a psul in the Malika. And therefore, this is what's going to distinguish this element from the way in which the Eila would be done. But that's a question. Despite the fact that I know for a fact that when it comes to an animal that requires both the Kona and the Vesha, that Shehiyah is possible. Usually a bird, if it were just for Chulin, would not require both the Kona or the Vesha. It would be kosher with either the Kona or the Vesha. Now the question is, when the Torah adds the Chiyah of Havdalah, when it comes to the Ola, how do we understand that as a definition of the act of Malika? So that, if that's true, and the Malika takes the place of Shechita, if you were Shohet between the two Simanim, then you did the Malika wrong. Because the Malika is essentially the Shechita of this bird, and here is the only bird in the world that requires so-called Shechita of two Simanim. That's one way to look at it. If we look at it that way, then the Eila will be possible if I do a Shehiyah between the two Simanim. If, however, I say, hold on a second, there's two totally different issues. One question is that which is the way to do the shechita, so to speak, of this bird. Use your fingernail. But obviously this bird is no different than any other bird. Once you cut through one of the simanim, this bird is dead. The fact that it shows signs of life, as every bird does, even when it flies around without having a head on it at all, is not to be confused with life. It's just simply muscular movements, and it's just a machine that has in it biological elements that allow it to move. I'd say without a head, it's quite brain dead. Yeah. So therefore, with the cutting of one of the simanim, you are now dealing with a dead bird. Now, the question is, why did the Torah tell me to cut through the other Siman? That's a special halacha, Havdalah. I don't know what that is. But it can't define the actual taking the life of the bird. In that sense, Malika doesn't include two Simanim. Malika can only include one Siman plus a Chiyav to be Mavdil, the other Siman. But that's a din in Havdalah, not a din in the element of Malika, which is Shechita, you see. That's the Machlokes. Now, this is much more sophisticated. And therefore, the question is like this. Shehiyah b'simen sheni ba'olat ha'of ma'akevi, k'ben ha'tana kama holds that Shehiyah b'simen sheni ba'olat ha'of is not ma'akev. It's just an additional element. And therefore, afa gav de shahayet, if in fact you would have stopped with the olat ha'of and then continued cutting through the other piece, that would still have been a kosher olat ha'of. Therefore, since it would have been a kosher olat ha'of, when I do exactly that with the chatas, because by the chatas I have to do exactly that. There's no way I can avoid a shiyah, because I need to cut through rov basar, as we're going to see. Once I cut through rov basar, I've done a shiyah. But since a shiyah is irrelevant there, over here, it's the equivalent of the oila. I'm doing to the chatas exactly what I would have done to the oila. I mean, what do I care about the rov basar? That's irrelevant. So now I'm looking at this bird, and I say, my gosh, so what is the difference between these two birds? Let's say you need to do mitzui. According to the way I'm learning, everybody holds you need to do the mitzui. So you're doing a mitzui, and you're doing a malika, and you're doing a malika of shnei simanim. Wow. So then this is an oila, I guess. But it isn't. It's a chatas. In which case, you end up ka'avin ma'aseh ola bechatat. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds, no. If you would have done that to an ola, it would have been possible. Therefore, when I do it to a chatas, it's not an ola, obviously. So kivan deshaye, at this point, what are you telling me I'm doing? I'm doing the maisa that I'm doing to an ola? I'm a chatech basar. All I'm doing is I'm cutting a piece of meat. Because for the ola, this wouldn't have been a kosher malika. So why are you calling it a malika? It's not a malika. It's simply cutting through what used to be once upon a time the simen, which is now a piece of meat. That's all. Abaya Amar, Abaya says we can get a lot more subtle than that. Because I would say that actually we could agree that everybody holds that Shehiyah possible, you know? The only machlokas is whether, by definition, your chatas ha'ov, that you cut the extra simen on, will it by definition be a Shehiyah? That's the question. And what does that revolve around? Rov basar. What made it into a position of Shehiyah? The fact that you're saying, well, there's no way to do a chatas ha'ov without doing rov basar. Ah. But supposed rov basar being ma'akev is gufa the machlokas. How about that, you see? So then, And that is actually Beplukta. That Machlokas itself is really the Machlokas between Rabbi Zera and Reb Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak. This Machlokas Abaye V'Rava. Chadom Hashiyah B'Simen Cheni B'Latov Ma'akev is the difference. V'chadom Arov Basar Ma'akev is the difference between the two Shitot. So in other words, I need to cut through Rov Basar L'chatfila. Yes. What if I didn't? Well, if you hold what if I didn't, the din would be that it was kosher. Anyway, so then that means that the Chatas doesn't absolutely require me to do Rov Basar, in which case it doesn't absolutely require a Shehiyah. In which case there are therefore grounds to say that if I'm going to allow you to get away with, in the case where you were Mavdil, and where Torah said not to be Mavdil, then in a case where you would have done that without Rov Basar, you would actually have posseled it. Therefore, we can't let you get away with it under any circumstances. And we will usher it. Mashinken, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. He holds that Rov Basar Bechatas is an absolute requirement. In which case, when you're going to be Chotech, the second Simon, you're by definition going to be involved in a Shehiyah. But a Shehiyah is by definition posseled by the Eila. There's no possible way that you could come to parcel this Chatas Ha'ov by treating it like an Olas Ha'ov just because you cut it out of the Siman. Because it would always be done B'Shiyah because you needed to do Rov Basar in between. Says the Gemara, are you telling me therefore that everybody agrees that certainly L'Chatchila you need Rov Basar? The only question is whether it's Ma'akev? Michlav to be Inon Rov Basar B'Tchila? Oh, absolutely. V'atanya, Kate Sadmo King Chatas Ha'ov, get a gander of this. Chotech Shidra, Umaf Reket, below Rov Basar. Now, we're going to see that this is absolutely essential because of the dinim of acts that can turn a living body into an avela. And in order to avoid that, you must cut through first the shidra and the mafreket. You cut through the spinal cord and the neck itself, but you need to be careful not to cut rov basar, because if at that point you would cut rov basar before you get to the simen, this bird is dead. And therefore, there'd be no way to do a malika, because you'd be cutting basar b'alma even when you cut the simani, you see. So, you do this until you get to the simen. When you get to the simen, oleveshet olekana, igiel oleveshet olekana, then you're chotech simen echad, or even rov of the simen, and that's kosher. But then, that's the point that you cut rov basar imo. Whereas, by ola, you cut both simanim, shnayim or rov shnayim. And therefore, the question over here is that ma'akev at this point for the oila or not? So if you're going to tell me it's ma'akev, as Rabbi Shimon says, there's no way to go without it. So if you went ahead after cutting rov basar, and you then cut another simen, who cares what you're doing? You might as well be cutting a toenail. Well, what's an afkamina? And there's no way that you could ever passel a bird like this. Whereas the Chachamim say, well, sure there is. What if you wouldn't cut rov basar, since rov basar is not ma'akev? Then you would have been doing a maisav and ayla sarov to a chatasov, and that's possible. So there's a way that it could be possible. Therefore, we never allow you to do such a thing. They said over this entire explanation, Omrua kamedu Rabbi Yirmiyah, very brilliant. I mean, you must admit, we're getting really down into the kishkits. So you would say that that's very impressive. He was not impressed at all. I don't know what everybody's making this fancy legal question over here. You mean to tell me they never heard over there the simple explanation? Lo shmielu adi omer Rabbi Shimon ben Alyakim, mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Pidat, mishum Rabbi Lezer ben Shamoah. I mean, my God, what amaratzes? Omer haya Rabbi Lezer ben Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lezer ben Rabbi Shimon said over the following Kabbalah that he had from his Rabbeim, Shamati. Where do I get the idea of mavdilin? Because I was makabel at the pirish in the pasuk. Lo yavdil does not mean don't be mavdil. It means you don't need to be mavdil, for God's sake. So then if that's the explanation, then they're arguing about the meaning of the word. They're not arguing about, is there takana drabani gudumaisa ilas of the chatas of, is it possible to do it without shia, without, man, oh man, what complications. It's a question of how to understand the meaning of the pasuk. Does v'lo yavdil mean you mustn't, and therefore it would be ma'akev? Or does it mean you needn't? Which is obviously ma'akev. I can't believe he said that. That's crazy. I mean, so it says by the bor, v'lo yechaseno. That means if you dig a pit, you don't have to cover it. I mean, that's what v'lo means. You said v'lo means it's optional. You don't need to. Is that what you're going to say? You don't have to cover your bor. Continue reading. I mean, Atav Kivan Dichti Balabor Yishalem. If Veloya Chasenu ends with the words, and therefore you got to pay, how could you say you don't have to cover it? So why do you have to pay? I mean, obviously it's saying in context the opposite. So Kivan Dichti Balabor Yishalem. So then Aluyu the Rumila Chasuye. What it's saying is, since you were responsible to cover it and didn't cover it, therefore you're going to pay. Aval Hacha over here, what is the point? It says, Beferish, V'kriva Kohen, Umalaket Rosho, and so on. So that means, when it says, V'hikrivo, so what is it telling me? That there's a difference between the Eila and the Chatas anyway. That's a given, because V'hikrivo is specifically, so by the Eila, it already told me this is different than the way I would do the Chatas. Then why say the Lo Yavdil? Lomali. You told me already it's the Erla and only the Erla of Ikrivo in this fashion of two separate parts. In which case, the meaning over here of the Lo Yavdil has got to be in context. In this case, by the Chatas, it isn't necessary to be Mavdil. Because otherwise, if I didn't tell you that, you would have thought that it would mean that it's absolutely usher to be Mavdil. Since the Ikrivo, by the Havdalah of the Oph and the by Ola Zaof, the Avdol of the Rosh from the body, over there it says, only the Ola Zaof. Oh my gosh, so I got this, I can't do this to. Therefore, I come along and I repeat to you, Lo Yavdil. So I said, I know that already. Ah, that is what you're trying to tell me is, over here you don't have to be Mavdil. And that's the meaning of the Yikrivo. That the difference is that you have to be over there Mavdil. By here you don't have to be Mavdil. Can we finish, or you want to wait until our president is here, Mitzvah Shabbat? We're going to wait for our president. Tana Rabbana, v'hikrivo matamad lomar lefishen emar, v'hikriv minatorinu meim b'nei avayonah. If it only said that, I would have thought that a mitnadev of lo yivchot mishnei peridim. Talmud lomar v'hikrivo all by itself, afilu preda achat. Yavi, and that would be fine. Ela mizbeach, it should say, and that would be sufficient. I mean, why does it have to say ha-kohen? V'ikrivo ha-kohen ela mizbeach, likibo ha-lo-kohen. And why is that necessary? Shiocho va-lo dino, uma ben-son shekavalo tzafon, lo kavalo kohen. Of shelo kavalo tzafon, eno din shelo yikbalo kohen. Talmud lomar el ha-kohen, likibo ha-lo-kohen. Yocholim lekenu besakin, v'dinu, uma im shchita, shelo kavala kohen kavala kli, melika, shekavala kohen, eno din shikavala kli, Talmud lomar, kohen umalak. And as Rabbi Akiva commented, Omar Rabbi Akiva, v'chita le'al datcha, Shazar Karev Lagami Mizbeach, Alamata Madlomar Kohen, Shetehemeli Kabats Moshe Kohen, Yochoyim Lakena, Bain Milamala, Bain Milamata, Tamadlomar, Umalak Victir, Magda Rabba Roshosha Mizbeach, Afmeli Kabrosha Mizbeach. And then Umalak, by definition, means Mimula Orev. It does. Atomer Mimula Orev, I know, I'm in a Tzavar. And Vedino, Nemakanu Malak, Nemalanu Malak. Just like by the Chatas of, it says Beferish, Mimul Orpo, Velo Yavdil. Avkan Mimul Orpo. Aye, maybe we should take the whole thing. Mimul Orpo, Velo Yavdil. Avkan Molek Veno Mavdil. Talmud Lomar, Umalak Viktir. Mahaktara Rosh Latzmo Vaguf Latzmo. Av Melika Rosh Latzmo Vaguf Latzmo. How do you know that? Well, it says v'hiktir oto after saying v'shisa oto b'knafav, so that's obviously a reference to haktarat haguf. Haman imikayim v'hiktir amizbecha earlier by v'hikriva kohen right after the malika umalaket rosho v'hiktir amizbecha. Clearly, that is barosha katuv medaber. Then when it says v'nimtza damo akir amizbeach, v'nimtza damo means all of it. El kira mizbeach, it should say al kira mizbeach, velo al kira kevesh, velo al kira heichal. And now, what kir would that be? Zekir elyon? Maybe it means kir tachto, vedino? Ma beima, we're chatataz, lamala, but the ola, the Torah is makbedavka lamata. The oath for even the chatat is lamata, kol shekein that the ola should be lamata. Talmud lamar umalak v'iktir v'nimtza damo. Quite a trick, eh? V'chitale al datcha that li'acha shiktir. Now he's going to be chozer umimatze. Ela lomar lacha mahaktarara b'rosh ha-mizbeach, af mitzui b'rosh ha-mizbeach. Ha-ketzat ha-yo'ole b'kevesh u'pone le-sovev. Balo le-keren dromit mizrachit. Assuming there's not too much of a line, I am aleket rosho mimul orpo umavdil, and then mimatze midama al kira mizbeach. And the truth is, imasalamata miraglav afilo ama up to lechut hasikar would be kosher. Reb Nechemia of Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov omrim. That the whole point here is to compare it to Haktorah, and therefore kol atzmaina nazitel barosh hamizbeach. How could you do it on the area under the sovev? Maybe nayu. The question is whether the Sovev is a place you can be makrivat. This refers to the Zefek. Yoko yak dir besakin under the skin. The Yitlenu Talmud lomar benotzata. You need to be noto the notza ima. Abba Yossi ben Chanan merits more than that, my friends. Notza is a lotion of ma'us. And therefore, he must be notla, notela kurkavani ma, the very Rabbi Shmotana, binotzata, binotza shala, kodrabe sakin, kemin aruba. Shisa velo yivdil, tonon rabbanam vishisa, ein shisua ela beyad, vechenu omer vayishasa eyo kishasa gidi, vein beyada, vumauma ein beyado. Lo yisirat amura matnitin, Dolok Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Om Tanya Reb Amar Reb Eliezer. Sorry. Dolok Reb Eliezer ben Shimon. The Tanya Amar Reb Eliezer ben Shimon. Shamati Shemavdilin bechatat haof. My binayu. Om Reb Chista mitzui chatat haof ma'akev ike binayu. Tanya Kama Sarva mitzui chatat haof ma'akev. And since there's no possible way to avoid doing the mitzui dam ka'avid, so then he's kavin maase ola bechatata of which parcels it. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon knows mitzvichatata of is not ma'akev. In which case, why look at it as doing a maisa of a chatasa of? As far as why are you cutting it, mechatech basar b'yalmahu. Rav Amar, the question is a deeper question. Shehiya b'siman sheni balata of ma'akev ikvinayu. Tanakam Sova Shia Basimcheni Belota Bolata of Lo Meakev. And therefore, Afagav the Shaye. So even though the Chatas, for sure you're gonna have to be Shoheh, but that doesn't mean it's a Chatas, that could still be an Ola and it would still be kosher that way. In which case you are now treating a Chatas as an Ola. So you're being Ovin Maaseh Ola Bechatat, and we'll see later on that passos. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Savar. That it is ma'akev. And therefore, since by definition then, what you did was not a kosher shechita by the oila, so then it's clearly distinguished from the oila, and now you're just being mechatek basar b'yamo. Abaya Omar, rov basar ma'akev ikebinel, which is the source of the problem of the shehiya. And this machlok is Abaya Varava, whether to focus on shehiya or to focus on the question whether there needs to be a shehiya, namely Rov Basar, that machlokas is exactly the same machlokas that we find between Rabbi Zera and Reb Shulam Bar Rav Yitzchak. Chana Mashiach b'simet sheni b'latof ma'akev is the problem. Beinayu v'kadomer Rov Basar ma'akev ike beinayu. Anyway, but are you saying that bichlal that lechatchila we certainly require Rov Basar in? V'atanya. Ketzad mokin chatata of chotek shidro mafreket below Rov Basar. And then it's Rov Basarimo. Whereas by Ola, you need to only do Shnayim or Rov Shnayim. Amruah Kamed Rabbi Yirmiya. Oh man, all of this complexity. Lo Shemilu Adi Amr Rabbi Shimon ben El Yakim. Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat. Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Shamoa. Omer Haya Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Shamati bechatat of shemavdilin. And then why does the Torah say lo yavdil? It only means ein tzarich lavdil. I'm like Ravach read Ravel of Rashba. I love that. So elameyat gabi bor dechtiva lo yechaseno. Achinami de ein tzarich lechasot. Now, come on, Achiyashtahatam, Givandechti Bala Bar Yishalem, and obviously it's saying he didn't do what he needed to do. So, Aluya Hudarami Lachasuye. But over here, the pasuk is unnecessary because Mechdektivi Krivo, which means that now Chalaka Katu, Ben Chatato of Olata of. So now I know if I need to be Cholek on the Ayla, so then I have to not be Cholek on the Chatas. So then, lo yav di alamali, since you basically already said that, so what it's coming actually to do is to mitigate the isser being ma'abdil, and to tell me, shma minayin tzarich la'abdil.